order of the day is a work session for possible introduction of committee measure. And I'll open the work session on LC draft 3416. Do you want to introduce the measure, staff?
Sure. Chair Fisher, members of the committee, LC 3416 is basically related to the Oregon Health Plan requiring third-party payers to pay. That is an option.
Is there further discussion of the committee bill?
Mr. Chair, I move to submit the LC.
Senator Starr has moved that we
committee bill.
Submit the LC as a committee bill. Is there further discussion?
It's LC 3416, by the way.
Okay, this is committee bill LC 3416.
Oh, I'm glad you're being specific.
Will the clerk call a roll?
Senator Brown. Senator Burdick.
Aye.
Senator Plarno.
Aye.
Senator Starr.
Aye.
Senator
Morissette.
Aye.
Senator Fisher.
Aye. The motion carries, and we will do that. And Senator Brown is excused for the record. I will close the work session on LC 3416 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 154. I'll have staff introduce the bill, and then we'll call folks that wish to testify here.
Chair Fisher, members of the committee, Senate Bill 154 expands the basis for obtaining a license to practice psychology without a written examination.
Okay. We'd call Dr. Judy Hall and Norman Penner. You go ahead, however you wish, whatever order you wish to go.
I'm Judy Hall. I'm from the National Register of Health Service Providers in Psychology. We're based in Washington, D.C., and we are a national credentialing body in psychology. We're the largest national largest psychology credentialing body in psychology, and I'm here to oppose Senate 154 unless amended by 1A engrossed. I hope I said that right.
which we don't have.
Which we don't have.
You do in my packet. It's the second letter, second page. It was. It came out of Senator Starr's office, proposed amendment to Senate Bill 154. If you'll look at the second page behind my executive summary.
Okay. You didn't get this, did you?
No. Does everybody have it?
Senator Starr, have you been holding out on us here?
I've been holding out on you.
Basically, the bill 154 proposes multiple different ways for psychologists who are licensed in other jurisdictions to be licensed in the state of Oregon. And the only option that is not mentioned that is a viable nationally recognized option for licensure is the National Register of Health Service Providers in Psychology. And I am the executive officer of that organization. I'm also past president of the Association of State and Provincial Psychology Boards, and their mechanism is included in the bill. So basically what I'm here to say is that I would like to encourage Oregon to include the remaining mobility mechanism in their bill that will enable citizens of other states to move to this jurisdiction and meet licensure without additional hurdles that they've already passed in other states. It also ensures a high level of quality of psychologists moving to your states to provide services to your constituents. I bring a letter from the president of APA, that Bob Sternberg, which is in my packet, that endorses all three mechanisms, the National Register, ABEP, which is already included in your bill, from prior times, and the certificate of professional qualification, which is added to your bill. I also bring a letter from Joe Matarazzo, who's former president of APA, as well as former president of ASPPD, and is the former chairperson of the Department of Medical Psychology at Oregon Health Sciences University. And he is also in support of including the National Register of Health Service Providers in the bill. That is all part of your packet. Basically, I am here to answer any questions that you might have about that. The one thing that this will do is it will add to the number of psychologists that are potentially eligible to move to Oregon and be licensed in Oregon. The National Register has 14,000 psychologists that it has credentialed. The CPQ has 3,700 psychologists that it has credentialed. And ABEP has 1,800 psychologists that it has credentialed. So when you add those three together, the potential there is for approximately 20,000 psychologists that are currently credentialed by those three mechanisms to be eligible for licensure in the state of Oregon without, again, additional undue hassles. And the national movement is to try to get states to recognize that the risk is not for the person who has been licensed and is out there practicing with no disciplinary history. The risk is primarily from individuals outside that group. So the state licensing board will spend a lot of their time worrying about new licensees, worrying about disciplinary actions, worrying about the kinds of things that licensure boards typically worry about. Then they will have less, they will not need to go over credentials that have already been vetted by one of the national mechanisms. And those three national mechanisms are in your bill is if you include the National Register of Health Service Providers and Psychology.
I'm a little confused here.
That's fine. That's why I'm here.
It appears that there's three groups.
Yes.
And I think I heard you.
Yes.
And I didn't see in this bill, are there three groups in here?
Yes. Let me read. If you look at line 12. That's one of the groups,
right.
American Board of Professional Psychology.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That was already in there.
Yes, that was already in there.
I was looking at the new language. I apologize.
And then line 15 is the new one, and we're suggesting that you just add on line 15, or currently credentialed by the National Register of Health Service Providers and Psychology.
See, you're not interested in playing leapfrog here.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Going from the oldest to the youngest and leaving the old one out. Yes, Senator Moore.
Are the tests and the standards pretty comparable in each of the three groups? Because I would want to make sure that we're not adding a lesser group to the list that would.
Certainly, I'd be glad to answer that question. The requirements for the National Register are higher than the requirements for the CPQ, which is already proposed in your bill. The National Register requires that the experience specifically be in health services and that the person have an internship that is approved. And it also requires that the postdoctoral year of experience be specifically in health services. So that's where our title comes from, is that we represent licensed psychologists who have gone beyond that and documented that they have met specific experience requirements in health service. And psychology is an interesting profession in that there are a lot of psychologists who are not health service providers. So this is a mechanism that helps identify who is a health service provider.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Mr. Penner.
Well, I'm here just basically to support Dr. Hall and to give you a little background. I am not a psychologist.
Would you introduce yourself
our
record?
Yes. Norman Penner, and I am a resident of Washington County and reside at 14712 Southwest Woodhue Street, Tigard, Oregon. And I am a retired Lieutenant Colonel of the United States Air Force in the Medical Health Services Corps. I first became acquainted with the National Register when I was on the staff of the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs. My primary responsibility was developing policy for a program called CHAMPUS. Some of you may recognize that. It was a financial program to help dependents of uniformed service members pay for health care delivered by civilian sources, hospitals and doctors. In the late 60s, Congress expanded coverage to include mental health services, and within about 3 years, the subsets of costs for that program, specifically in mental health, were just outrageously high. And we were asked to find a way to bring the program under control, or Congress threatened to cut out or reduce this benefit. And as Judy has already said, Dr. Hall has already said, psychology covers a long spectrum, all the way from what is sometimes referred to as rat runners or the researchers. And then you have industrial psychologists, a variety of types. Only a few of the total package are competent and qualified, really, in training and experience to treat mental and emotional conditions. However, CHAMPUS was receiving claims from all kinds of psychologists. The state licensing laws were not of any help to us to really reduce that population to qualified, competent clinicians. And at that point, I discovered the National Register and met with a then executive director, and eventually we adopted rules in the Department of Defense that a psychologist submitting claims had to either be in the National Register or meet the National Register criteria. That resulted in saving the Department of Defense in its mental health for dependent care a significant amount of money. And that was very successful. I have gone on to serve on the board of the National Register as a public representative for 8 years. And I currently am on the board of the American Board of Professional Psychology as a public member. So I do know a fair amount about the credentialing business, and I feel that the National Register is a highly competent and will produce a pool of psychologists that are well qualified to treat the citizens of Oregon should they choose to move here.
Hmm. Senator Starr, now you understand why I stepped forward and brought this amendment forward. These folks convinced me that they should be added, and so I bring this amendment for consideration.
Well, I thank you for doing it, because even though I didn't have a work session today, I planned to do the same thing myself, so you just saved me the trouble. I believe, and possibly you might have worked with Dr. Matarazzo in those processes back in those days, because I understand he's
Dr. Matarazzo and I go
plus years of experience.
Dr. Matarazzo and I go back a long ways. One of the first representatives of the American Psychology Association that came to my office in the Pentagon was Dr. Matarazzo. So we've known each other for quite a while.
When I was president of ASBPB, the National Association of Member Boards, Joe was head of our examination committee. So I worked with him for many years when he was helping develop the exam that all licensed psychologists took. And he did that for 20 years plus.
Further questions? Thank you very much
for
coming and taking your time to
our pleasure
acquaint us with these issues. We have Stephen S. McConnell and Martin Walker.
Chairman Fisher, members of the committee, my name is Stephen McConnell. I'm chair and a public member of the Board of Psychologist Examiners. I'm joined by Dr. Martin Wechter, who's the vice chair and a practicing psychologist. Thank you for the opportunity for testifying today. We will attempt to keep our explanations as brief as possible, because we've also provided you with written testimony. Basically, the reason for this bill is that the board has determined that over the years there have been a number of situations in which individuals have attempted to become licensed in the state of Oregon, and our statute has been limiting in allowing them to practice. And in the opinion of the board, a number of, you know, many of these people were well qualified to practice in Oregon, but because of the technicalities of the statute, they were unable to be qualified. So we put forth through the governor a bill which is in front of you, 154, which provides for additional licensure either by reciprocity with other states that sign a reciprocity agreement with us, by the applicants meeting the requirements of the Association of State and Provincial Psychology Boards, which is the ASPPB, which you heard referred to by the prior people testifying, and that is the Certificate of Professional Qualification, or CPQ, and I gave you information on what the requirements are to meet the CPQ, or another provision having an active license granted by another state or provincial psychology licensing board based on a doctoral degree where the applicant has had that license for at least 20 years and meets any other additional requirements that the board might require by rule. These changes should virtually eliminate the problems that that people have had coming in and obtaining licensure in the state, as I said, appropriately qualified people. Now, we're aware, and we became aware just by listening to the testimony a couple of minutes ago, that the National Registry would like to be added to this bill, and the board has no objection to doing that. The reason the board did not put that in the bill in the first place is that the National Registry is a membership organization rather than one that's affiliated with licensing boards or a license, and as a result, we reflected on the fact that because it was a private membership organization, it might not be appropriate to include that. We're obviously willing to administer the rules as you choose fit to write them and as the governor sees fit to sign the legislation. We'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
I would hazard a guess that probably one or the other of you, probably or both, are in this National Register. Would that be a...
Well, I'm a CPA, so I have...
So you're the public member, okay.
Yes sir.
How about you, sir?
I'm not.
Go ahead, man.
I'm Martin Wechter. I'm a clinical psychologist from Eugene and the vice chair of the board, Chairman Fisher. And I'm currently not a member of the National Registry.
Who is your board's executive director?
Chairman Fisher, members of the committee, we currently do not have an executive director. We have an acting administrator, Kathy Mann, who is behind me.
Go into a little bit more about this business of them just being a... not a licensing group, but a membership group.
The easiest way for me to describe that, Senator Fisher, is to relate it to my own profession. My own profession has an organization called the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, which is a membership organization which sets various and sundry accounting standards, which are often adopted by state licensing boards. But it is a private organization to which anyone who wishes to belong, who is a CPA, can belong by paying dues. Because I'm not familiar with the National Registry, I can accept what Dr. Hall said, which is there are a series of standards that need to be met by the National Registry in order for someone to belong. It's my understanding that in the court, you know, they belong and they pay dues, and if they do that and they meet the basic requirements, then they are listed in the National Registry. That's not a bad or good situation, but it's simply a private organization as opposed to an organization. The CPQ is supported and has been thought through and developed by the ASPPB, which is an association of licensing boards, and therefore has been looked at from the standpoint of, from the viewpoint of licensing boards.
And it's not a membership type thing?
The ASPPB is not. The CPQ is not, no.
Is there any other national or American association or things that a person might belong to in the available to psychologists?
Senator Fisher, there are other national organizations. The National Registry is a vetting organization. It's a credentialing organization, and is the largest. There are probably no other like organizations in the country. There are professional associations, of course.
And you've chosen not to belong?
I personally did not have any reason to belong to the national, you know, to be vetted nationally. I'm quite happy to stay in Oregon, and I didn't have any economic need to access that credentialing process.
There are further questions to Joan? Thank you for your testimony. I wonder if we could ask the previous two folks, Judy Hall and Norman, if you wish to come up, or Judy can handle it, that's fine. I just wanted to delve in a little more and find out.
I appreciate that.
You know, if you're a membership
some
group.
Some of that information is not accurate.
I happen to be and was for a long time member of a professional association that actually had higher standards than what our state had in qualifying me as a nursing home administrator. I had to meet higher standards to belong to our professional organization than I did to actually administrate here in Oregon. So I would be interested in hearing your description of your process.
Just make some analogies. In your bill, already in your bill, not for adoption, is the American Board of Professional Psychology. That is a private organization, a credentialing organization, a national credentialing organization. ASPPB, which I'm former president of, is a private organization that has members of state boards. He's correct about that. But it is a 501c3, just like the National Register is and just like ABEF is. And you can become a member of ASPPB. They have a category called membership as an individual membership category. They don't have any voting rights. They don't have any way of speaking, but it's for people like me and other people who are formerly active in that organization who typically become members of ASPPB. Now, the National Register is not a membership organization like the American Psychological Association. It is a credentialing organization. And the difference is that you have to meet specific standards related to the provision of services. And APA, for instance, which is a membership organization, has all different levels of membership and participation. We have one credential, the National Register credential. So a lot of people think of us as a membership organization, but we are not a membership organization. We are a credentialing organization, just like ABET.
Further questions? Yeah, you indicated that your qualifications and your standards were, if anything, higher than the other groups.
Especially with regard to experience, we all three organizations use the same determination on the doctoral degree. All three of them require a doctoral degree in psychology meeting national standards. Where the differences are with regard to the register is that we require the 3,000 hours of experience that the CPQ requires to be specifically in health service, and half of that has to be in a qualified internship.
Okay. Hearing no further questions, I guess we'll let you off the hot seat.
I'm perfectly cool. Thank you very much.
We have the amendment, and I think we'll go ahead and have a work session when we finish these three bills at a later date and work with the amendment. We have the amendment drafted, so we won't have to do that, thanks to Senator Starr. Does anyone wish to give further testimony on Senate Bill 154? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 154 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 155. And will staff introduce 155?
Certainly. Chair Fisher, members of the committee, Senate Bill 155 modifies the licensing authority of the State Board of Psychologist Examiners.
Okay, and we have Stephen McConnell again, and Dr. Wachter again. Is it Wachter or Wechter?
Wechter.
Okay, I mistook an E for an A here. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Chairman Fisher, members of the committee, we've introduced ourselves before. I'm Stephen McConnell. I've got Dr. Wechter with me. Senate Bill 155 allows us to renew licenses on other than an annual basis. Currently, the statute requires that we renew annually. The board is considering one of two methodologies to renew licensing. One is biennial, and the other is on a birth date basis. I, as a licensee of the Board of Accountancy, am used to the biennial methodology. As a licensee, it works really well because it means that I don't have to submit my credentials and licensing and send my bill in any more than often than twice a year, or once every 2 years rather than once a year. So it simplifies things from my standpoint. And it simplifies things from the board's standpoint as well, because it means that spreads our workload over the 2 years. It's a very natural and logical kind of thing. Biennial licensing is probably easier for the board to convert to and administer than birthday licensing, at least based upon what we've looked at to date, because it involves considerably less in the way of conversion of programming. And because we administer two oral examinations, which create a couple of seasonal peaks, and the licensure takes place at another point in time in the year, it means that we don't stress the staff at the time of the examinations with licensure at the same point. So that's our current plan, but the bill itself simply gives us the flexibility of continuing to work that process out.
So you haven't necessarily determined whether you're going to do it on a birth date?
That's right. The board has not made a formal determination, but as I say, I think the board is inclined for biennial license.
You know, I look at that in two different ways.
Yes, sir.
It's really easy to keep track of if you've got to do everything by the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know everything's coming up, and so you get you got stuff, some stuff coming on your birthday. I've got my airplane license coming up on its birthday. I've got this coming up here and there. It's a lot easier on the cash flow, but it's a whale of a job to try to remember and get all these things down, and you're never out of the loop of having to have something on the back of your mind that you got to get in by a certain deadline, by the end of this month of this deadline, or one thing and another, you know. And we've done that with our licenses on our automobiles and stuff, and frankly, it gets to be to where licensing becomes a part of your everyday life instead of a once-a-year thing that you can then forget until the end of the year. And so I understand the workload situation with the boards and things like that, because obviously you don't want to have to hire extra people to get by for a month or two during that heavy process and then let them go, or try to strain everybody overnight and then give them a month off to make up for comp time or something like this. You know, it is a problem. So I can understand your desire to do something like this, whereas to the individual it may or may not be quite as as happy in a situation. I can say this much, from having lived in Washington State, if you had more than one vehicle and you had to produce the amount that you had to produce for a license and you had to do it all in the same month, it was a whale of a mess. It was a lot easier if you could have portioned that out a bit over the year, but in any event, I don't suppose we'll ever get an exact perfect system that is easy for everybody to remember. I haven't had a chance to check it out totally. Are you a little, generous in your treating of people that may have forgotten that this is a month that they're have to renew in, or do you have huge late fees? Or
current, Senator Fisher, members of the committee, currently, in the time of the last legislature, is we adjusted our late fees up substantially, and to create an economic incentive for people to go ahead and get their licensure in, and that seems to have had that kind of an effect. Again, as a licensee of a different board, I find that if I get my licensure forms, and our licensure period is June 30 to June 30, and it's every 2 years, so it's an easy thing to forget, as you indicated. As long as I get my licensure forms in the mail and they're sitting there staring me in the face, the easy thing to do is say, okay, I'm going to deal with this right now. And, I do the paperwork, sign the check, and send it back in, and then I don't have to worry. So that's maybe it's my accountant's mindset.
Well, maybe you're not getting quite as much junk mail as I do. I want to throw it on my desk and then put 3 or 4 days of mail on it, and all of a sudden, a month later, I finally haven't done it. But anyway, is there anyone that wished to give further testimony, or do you wish to give testimony? Anyone else? No one else interested in any further questions from the committee? Okay, I appreciate that. I see you folks are probably on the next list, so why don't you just stay right there, and we'll close our public hearing on Senate Bill 155, open a public hearing on Senate Bill 156.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 156 extends the disciplinary authority of the State Board of Psychologist Examiners over certain licensees. Okay.
Go right ahead, Joan.
Senator Fisher, again, I'm Steve McConnell, for the record. I've got Dr. Martin Wechter with me. Again, to try to make this as quick a process, consistent with your needs, I will shortcut our testimony. You have written testimony in front of you. Basically, what we wish to do with respect to this bill is to close a loophole which fortunately no one has utilized up to this particular point. It involves a situation where someone could allow their license to someone who was under investigation by the board for a potential violation, to allow their license to lapse, for example, or to turn their license in, thereby foreclosing us from continuing the investigation, and creating a situation in which they then could move to another state, obtain licensure. Our board would be unable to, because we hadn't completed the investigation, unable to say anything to another board which was asking us about the record of this particular former licensee, And conceivably that person could become licensed in another state, do damage to our consumers, do damage to consumers in another state. And so we're simply trying to make sure that we continue to have jurisdiction to complete an investigation after someone has either voluntarily resigned their licensure or had it lapsed. And in the written testimony, we've laid out an example of how that might work in somewhat greater detail. And we'll be happy to answer any questions you might have if you wish to ask.
You may possibly be aware that I've been a little critical of the Board of Psychology in times past, some of its operations, and I'm still getting indications that it may not be functioning on the highest plane as it should in regard to new applications and that kind of thing. I have a problem with adding to the ability of boards to take actions when they are, in my estimation, not using the power they have as I would consider to be in the right vein. And I don't like the idea of somebody being able just to voluntarily back out and escape and go maybe to some other state or something like that and reapply and get relicensed somewhere else without something following up. However, by the same token, I don't like people put in jeopardy from things that are too often very easy to do. Yeah, there had been a pressure applied for almost a plea bargaining situation to make a determination that somebody can either do this or else. And I personally want to do a little bit more of an investigation before I say yay or nay on this particular bill. I don't have anyone else here that wishes to testify on it, and oftentimes in a situation like this, for fear of reprisal or something, people don't wish to testify. So I want to do some checking in with some of the folks that represent the psychologists in their professional status rather than the board status, and I haven't had a chance to do that yet. So is there anyone... Pardon me, I got the proverbial frog down there somewhere. And is there anyone else who wishes to testify on this in the audience? Hearing none, I'm going to go ahead and close the hearing on Senate Bill 156. I thank you, gentlemen, for coming and testifying today. And at least the other two bills we will bring back, and I surmise pass them without any problem. And this one, and I believe there's also another bill that you have concerning the prescription process with psychologists that's coming up.
Senator Fisher, that bill is being put forward by the Oregon Psychologists Association, not by the board. But yes, obviously.
But I'm sure you'll want to weigh in on it.
We're aware of it, yes. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, and we close our hearing and adjourn.
Thank you.